All right, welcome back. It's time to go take a look at the real world out there, so to speak, of war and death, astonishing numbers of dead people. Keep in mind that the top people, the top individuals, the top group that is running what used to be Ukraine, that's running the what used to be the government of Ukraine, they're all Zionist Jews. Understand that. This is not anything to do with anti-Semitism. It's a fact. It's a fact. Zionists do not like Goyim, other than to take advantage of them. There are exceptions. Other than to take advantage of them, to fleece them, to get them to dump their money and to do their work for them. Zelensky has now presided over the liquidation, absolute destruction of approximately 200,000 Goyim in the Ukrainian military. That comes from Colonel Douglas McGregor. Approximately 200,000 Goys have been liquidated by the Zionists. Do you think they lose any sleep over it? Really? Do you? Do you think they care? No. This is absolute genocide of non-Jews. That's what it is. You don't throw your military into a meat grinder like this if you're human. You don't do it. Anyway, that's tactics, and that's the province of our friend Mitchell Henderson. Hi, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello. What you're saying is spot on. Tonight I want to talk about Russia's strategy in Ukraine. So what I did is I contacted my strategic level source in Moscow. And I had to call back and stuff because there were specific questions I wanted to get cleared up.
Excellent.
So here we go. This is their thinking. This is what they think. This is reality to them. Okay, so it's not what the Western media says. Western media has just been saying how wonderful everything's going in Ukraine. You know, blah 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 blah. You know, they don't want to give a hint that they're losing because they want to keep shipping stuff over there because that is a profit cow for all of these people. Okay, they're robbing us. They're taking our middle class Western money and giving it to the wealthy elites in Ukraine and the woke elite of the West. Okay, they're profiting very much from this war. So, let me go on with what their thinking is. Okay, so in December 2021, Russia asked NATO to talk about Ukraine, the Minsk Accords over the Donbass, and Russian security. Under the Minsk Accords, Russian areas in Ukraine were to remain a part of Ukraine but have autonomy for the Russian regions. It has been revealed that Ukraine, France, and Germany only signed on to the Minsk Accords to buy time for the Ukrainians to build up its military to fight Russia. This was admitted by French, German, and Ukrainian presidents of the time. Even the old 2014 president came out and said that was the plan. So there's perfidy there. During the next 8 years, the Ukrainians shelled the Donbass, killing 14,000 Russian civilians, and American troops deployed American soldiers to train the Ukrainian army. NATO refused to hold any discussions with Russia, but Russia could not stand by and watch the ethnic extermination of Russians in the Donbass. Russia decided to intervene with a special military operation under the American policy of R2P, or Right to Protect, a civilian population against genocide. The United States had used that concept to justify the illegal attack on Serbia in 1999 in order to seize sovereign territory of Serbia under the pretext that they were protecting the Kosovar Muslims from the Serbian Christians. Okay, you can see this anti-Christian bent in everything we do. Okay. Let me just clear up for everybody. R2P was an idea created by Samantha Power. Okay, she was a UN ambassador at the time. There is no UN charter agreement on this. This is not a in international law. R2P is not in international law. We had no authority to do that. Okay, it was against it. This is what the Russians and Chinese complain about. We make up rules. We just make them up, and we ignore the rules that are there. We even do that here at home with our Constitution. Our government doesn't respect the Constitution, you know. They don't respect the rules. They just make stuff up, new stuff, okay? Like diversity is our strength, stuff like that. Nonsense. Yeah. Okay, then against international law, the United States took Kosovo from Serbia. Kosovo is a sovereign territory of Serbia and has always been a part of Serbia. In 2011, NATO illegally and against international law attacked Libya and deposed their president. Libya has been a failed state since then. The U.S. backing the Islamic terrorists and Russia backing the secular Muslims. This was part of Victoria Nuland's color revolutions, where America was overthrowing governments to impose democracy, which is a code word for the woke values of obedience, immorality, and racial hatred, sodomy, and feminism, in service to international Zionism. The first color revolution was in Europe, where we overthrew our staunch ally, Hosni Mubarak, and installed an Islamic government. The Egyptian people hated the Islamic control of the Muslim Brotherhood and had another color revolution and ousted Morsi, installing General al-Sisi in a secular government, which the U.S. immediately sanctioned. The USA did not care about the will of the Egyptian people. Egypt is no longer an American ally. They buy their guns from Russia again. So, although the narrative was a global war against terrorism, the Islamic terrorism was led, equipped, and funded by the CIA. We put our first Islamic government into power in Iran under Jimmy Carter. The objective of Iran was to destabilize the Middle East so they would depend on the United States. By depend on the United States, they mean obey the United States. It succeeded, but the Egyptian people did not want to live under the Islamic dictatorship of Mohamed Morsi, who was exterminating the Christian Copts in Egypt. Once again, we back all the people who want to kill Christians. That's a Zionist thing. The ancient Copts, they're ancient. They're as old as any other Christians, okay? Then came the color revolution.
C-O-P-T. All right, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, Coptic Church. So then came the color revolution in Tunisia that has devolved into an Islamic state that persecutes Christians now. Then came the color revolution in Libya. Muammar Gaddafi actually had a secular state where Christians were protected from Islamic terror. Next came Syria. The CIA mission in Benghazi was to buy arms from Libya and send it to al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria. We gave al-Qaeda and ISIS over $500 million to fund the war against Assad. Assad was a religious minority, an Alawite, who Sunni Muslims think are apostates worthy of death. In fact, Assad protected all religious minorities, including Christians. So we're against Assad, the guy who protects Christians, and we're for the Sunni Islamists who want to massacre them. The people that are taxpayer money was sent to systematically murder every Christian they got their hands on. Not just murder, but rape, torture, and sold into slavery. Yes, that was U.S. policy. Note that Zelensky in Ukraine has received $120 billion, and he has genocided the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. He took their main church and their monastery away from them. Zelensky is a Jew, and he hates Christians. The United States is still illegally occupying northeast Syria to this day. There is no UN resolution allowing U.S. troops in Syria. It is an illegal occupation. Everything we say bad about Russia, we not only have done, but we are doing now. Americans may not see the hypocrisy, but the rest of the world outside the U.S. sees it clearly. There is no Russian strategy to conquer the world or conquer any other nation. They just want their own security, and NATO is the only threat to their security. In 1989, when Germany wanted to reunify, Gorbachev got not just a verbal but a written promise that NATO would not move a single inch to the east. By 2022, all of the old Warsaw Pact nations had joined NATO, including Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Slovenia, Croatia, and Albania. The nations that were once part of the Soviet Union also joined the NATO, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. So NATO not only expanded to Russia's border, but it was also including former Soviet republics. In 2022, Finland decided to apply for NATO membership, a nation that had been neutral since it separated from Russia in 1918. So NATO has done nothing but encroach on and threaten Russia's security. Ukraine's elected president was overthrown by the United States in 2014 and an American puppet installed with the goal of Ukraine joining NATO. They wanted to put missiles in eastern Ukraine so they could easily hit Moscow and other Russian cities, okay? So that would negate what had saved Russia twice in history from being wiped out. Napoleon and Hitler both were stopped by the vast open plains of Belarus and Ukraine. This created security for Russia because they could trade space for time. But there was another aspect of geography that Russia has always used to their advantage in defense. It's called the Rasputista, or Rasputitsa, which means the time without roads. Every year from mid-March until early May, the soil of Belarus, Ukraine, and Western Russia turns into a muddy quagmire. This is because the surface ice melts and it rains, but until the first week of May, there is a layer of ice several feet down that does not let the melted ice and rain drain. The soil is a rich clay that stays unbearably wet. Russia has always had trouble building roads. Early on, they chopped trees down and laid the trees down on the mud for a road. However, these timber roads would be swallowed up by the mud also. So it's very hard to build roads there. What defeated Napoleon was the vast distance plus the cold winter. What defeated Hitler was the mud. Modern military vehicles cannot drive in it. So Russia launched the special military operation in February 2022 with the intention of liberating the Russian people of Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhzhia, and Kherson provinces. The thrust towards Kiev was a feint to distract from the provinces they wanted to take. They launched at the end of February because they wanted the Rasputitsa mud to provide a defense barrier for the lands they took. In other words, it would give them time to consolidate their control over the four provinces. So they wanted to go in on the ice, quickly take these provinces over, then the mud would set in, it would give them time to consolidate forces. Okay. So the past year has been a time of strategy on the world stage. It was the economic and political aspects of the war. In that time, Washington has been bullying nations around the world. They were with China and Iran setting up new financial mechanisms for trade and realigning trade. This has been a benefit to Russia and China, whose economies have improved because of Western sanctions, and Europe and America, whose economy is suffering under sanctions. Latin American nations would not join the U.S. in this war. Victoria Nuland came up with the idea of getting Latin American nations to send their Soviet weapons to Ukraine, and we would replace them with U.S. weapons. She is so out of touch with reality. This included Nicaragua, Venezuela, Cuba, Bolivia, Peru, and Ecuador. Just to show you how out of touch with reality she is, she did not think to wonder why these nations had Russian arms in the first place, because the U.S. is not a reliable supplier of armaments. If you don't obey us, we cut them off. We had cut all those countries off, okay? So if you don't buy it from America, where are you going to buy it? You got to buy it from the Soviet Union, okay? So they will never trust us, never. It has been months, and all six said absolutely no. America just is not a reliable partner for anything. The list is long of allies that we stabbed in the back. Americans may not know history, but these other nations do. Brazil is a BRICS nation, and Argentina and Mexico want to join. The United States makes things worse because two Americans were murdered in Mexico, and the U.S. Senate is suggesting that the USA go to war with Mexico. If two Mexicans were murdered by gangsters in the U.S., Mexico is not going to declare war on us. The proof? This has already happened to thousands of Mexicans and no declaration of war. Okay, they get killed every day up here in gang turf wars and stuff. Even our Republican leaders act like woke people, creating a bullshit narrative to be used to kill hundreds or thousands of people. We're a death cult. America is a death cult. In Africa, they keep trying to get them on Ukraine's side, but the only real friends Africa has ever had is Russia and China. The United States and Europe have only humiliated Africa and caused wars and conflicts that have killed millions. It was Russia and China that helped them get liberated from the European colonialists in the first place. Earlier this year, the U.S. sent a new ambassador to Sudan, and he said that he was going to stop Russian investment in Sudan and make them obey our wishes. He said that openly before he flew over there. He said it in a very condescending and arrogant manner. This past week, Sudan gave the contract to refurbish and develop its petroleum resources to Russia, not to Americans, to Russians. Okay, these people can be loyal to people who are loyal to them. This week, we are sending our Deputy Secretary of State of the Treasury, a black man, to Africa to persuade African nations to come on our side. He will threaten them, just like the Treasury Department did to Saudi Arabia and Turkey, without any effect. But he's going over there to threaten them that we're going to sanction them and cause them trouble if they don't do what we say. But it did not work, and this will not work. African officials say the U.S. never listens to them. They only want to tell them what they need. In other words, we're telling them what they need. We don't ask them what they need. We tell them what they need. It's what profits us. Mm-hmm. We treat them like a condescending colonial boss. The meeting of African leaders led by Biden in Washington last year was worthless. The attendees said that Biden was not interested in listening to them and would not personally meet with any of them because, you know, they're just African presidents. They're nobodies. So Biden doesn't have time for them. They said that George W. Bush was a better leader and did listen to them, but Obama was the worst. He just preached to them, promised much and delivered nothing. These are the presidents of Kenya, Tanzania, what was the other country? Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda all said this, okay? What China and Russia have done for Africa is substantial and very helpful. The U.S. State Department threatens them if they don't accept gay culture. Last year, Rwandan President Paul Kagame complained that Western values are LGBT sodomite values and not values at all. He asked where Western values were when a million Tutsis were slaughtered in 1993. And what he's specifically talking about is Bill Clinton's refusal to send a single company, that's 200 men, of a signal unit to Tanzania in a safe place so that they could jam the radio signals that were being used to run the genocide. Okay. He said that African cultures and societies have their own values that do not include sodomy or the sexual exploitation of children like Western values are focused on. He said that the West does not get to be the arbiter of what is of value or not. President of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, said the same thing. Africans see Western values as promoting sodomy and pedophilia. They see Biden as an obvious pedophile and Zelensky as an obvious tranny and homosexual. They have no respect for American or European so-called values. So you have to keep this in mind when you realize why Latin America or why Africa or why these other countries will not obey us and come on board with us. Okay, there's a reason for it. On March 9th, China brokered a peace treaty between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and they are going to resume diplomatic relations. Saudi Arabia no longer uses the petrodollar. They actually are conducting trades in other currencies. The problem with the dollar is that the exchange process is too expensive, and that if you have deposits in dollars or euros, the U.S. and Europe will seize it and sanction your trade. They are tired of this. For example, the Swiss economy is very dependent on banking. It makes up 10% of their economy. But they decided to seize Russian deposits to include the deposits of private citizens that are not sanctioned.
Yeah.
All you had to do is be a Russian, and they seize it. Europe and America have done this. It was a miscalculation by Switzerland because wealthy Chinese do not want to bank there because if there is a conflict with China and the West, they rightly fear that they will lose all of their money. They are trying to avoid the kind of banking the U.S. is headed into, the digital currencies that the state can freeze on individuals without any due process at all. Even France.
Here's a little side note real quick on Credit Suisse. Word is that they're being hammered by this situation, and it's been bad for them for some time. They have this big tower, huge tower. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it is in Switzerland, Bern. I don't know where it is. It's their headquarters, and they are allegedly giving that building up. They're not going to renew their lease in a cutback.
Wow.
So that's a big deal. It's a very symbolic thing. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, the whole thing, the whole bank failure thing is about introducing digital currency. And the digital currency is the mark of the beast Antichrist system. Okay? They can cut you off if you don't do as they say. So even France has been told to leave the Central African Republic, Mali, and Burkina Faso. They kicked French troops out because these nations said that they were actually supporting the Islamic terrorists in order to not to put pressure on them to toe France's line. All three African nations had the Wagner Group come in to help them against the Islamists. The Wagner Group is in Syria and Libya also.
Do you know that the Wagner musicians, they are so popular. It's kind of like Robin Hood. They become so popular in Russia now that they are opening 45 recruitment offices all over Russia.
Oh,
the Wagner Group. It's a PMC.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
They're allowed to recruit in high schools in Russia.
Yeah.
So,
well,
the Wagner Group has captured the
imagination of a lot of people.
He allowed them to recruit from jails, too, and stuff. So, you know.
That's fine. They've acquitted themselves magnificently.
Yeah. Good soldiers. I mean, I remember during the Vietnam War, the guys that I thought were the best soldiers were the people that they wouldn't even allow in the Army nowadays. Okay.
Huh.
They wouldn't let people like that in, but they were the best. Okay. Russia's current strategy is to destroy the Ukrainian army on the Donbass front. There is no offensive because the Rus Putitsa, the mud. Why waste the effort? Sometime after the first week of May, the Russians will have taken Bakhmut and will rush to the Dnieper River in the north and the Dniester River in the west in order to protect Russian soil from the long-range weapons that we are sending to Ukraine. Now, Putin told us that he had to do that because we insisted on sending long-range weapons. Okay.
Yeah.
So after that, they intend to keep taking Ukrainian territory until they sue for peace. If they don't, they'll just take all of Ukraine. In Bakhmut, the Ukrainians have four brigades today. Zelensky refuses to withdraw, and there are now 10 Ukrainian brigades massed west of Bakhmut for a counteroffensive. But they cannot fight in the mud either. Russia wants them to stay for now because the first objective of any army is to destroy the enemy army. Okay, they want those 10 brigades to go into Bakhmut because they're going to chew them up and spit them out. Okay, they want to destroy the Ukrainian army, and that's what they're doing.
How many men is that? 10 brigades? How many in a brigade?
A brigade is about 3,600, 4,000 people, something like that.
So we're talking about another 30,000 dead, potentially.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That'd be 230,000 goyim that have been chewed up and annihilated by Zelensky.
Well, trust me, I've heard very good figures from very good sources that say it's 400,000. They clearly say that Ukraine has lost as many men as the United States lost in World War II in all theaters of the war over 5 years. they've lost that many in 1 year. Okay. So that is happening on the front lines, and Russia wants them to degrade their forces so that when the breakout happens, they can go directly to the Dnieper River. This year, the Rasputitsa will be shorter because of the warmer winter they had. They may be able to launch in mid-April. So the ground isn't that terribly bad. Okay, they expect it to be, but it has to be firm enough for tanks and armored personnel carriers.
Sure,
and
of course.
Stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
And another thing that we heard some news where Prigozhin, the Wagner group, was complaining to Putin about ammunition and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that
is that
true.
Real?
He was asking for more ammunition, but why wasn't he getting it is what the press doesn't tell you. The reason he's not getting it is because Russia has 700,000 soldiers in or on the Ukrainian border. That is their breakout force. They have supplies ready to go. They don't want to blow all their ammunition now and not have the ammunition for the offensive. Okay,
sure.
So they have to weigh, you know. I mean, they're not unsympathetic to the Wagner group. It's just that, well, you know, we got to have some ammo for this, you know. So
it's probably been resolved by now, anyhow. That was 2 weeks ago.
I think it has. It's been resolved and stuff, so. So let me clarify, because they talked to me about this too, the conditions for nuclear war, okay? So if we cross the red lines, that means Russia will consider us a party to the war. They already do.
Hey, Mitch, excuse me.
Keep crossing
hold on.
Them. Yes.
How the hell can they not already do that? We've been involved with this, giving them satellite and location data down to the platoon level from the beginning. We're still at it.
Yeah.
We're directly involved in this. My God.
Exactly.
Armaments, APCs, it doesn't matter. Tanks, ammunition, artillery shells, drones. We're as involved as we could possibly be. And we have lost, apparently, quite a few Americans over there, which we'll never hear about. And then the hypersonic cruise missile took out that 265-foot deep NATO command and control center. With the Kinzhal missile.
Oh yeah, and listen, listen at the level of a battalion and above. A battalion is four companies or about 800 men. Okay, at that right. level of command, you have a staff. You have a command staff that is like a S1, that's administrative, S2 intelligence, S3 operations, S4 logistics. Okay.
Right.
So that's at the battalion level, the regiment level, the brigade level, the division level, the corps level, the army level. Well, guess who their staff officers are? NATO officers are their staff
mm-hmm.
officers.
Sure they are.
They're not Ukrainians. They're NATO staff officers, okay?
Right.
So now Poland is sending 29 MiG-29 fighters to Ukraine, and Slovakia is sending 12. Lindsey Graham is pushing for us to send F-16s. This, of course, is crossing a red line. But like I said, Russia's already told us that we've already crossed all the red lines. So the red line is just means we're a party to the war. If Russia starts losing in Ukraine, then it will resort to nuclear war. Okay? If NATO intervenes by sending ground troops into western Ukraine to hold the Russians back, that fixes nothing and prolongs the problem. Russia will likely launch a nuclear war because NATO will be shooting at Russian troops and that the war will be on. Okay. So that's kind of the picture of what's going on the Ukrainian front and what the Russian thinking is. I mean, we're sitting back here waiting for the spring offensive. That, well, where did this idea of the spring offensive come from? Well, that was from the West. Our media said that. The Russians didn't say that. They never said that. They've been refitting, resupplying, retraining, and their training is good. I see the results of it on the battlefield. I watched today a video of the Ukrainian soldiers learning infantry tactics, and let me tell you, it was pathetic. They're going to die. They're going to die very quickly in combat because just like the American Army, see, we train them like we get trained, and we don't train about cover and concealment anymore. We just don't train that stuff. So what you see is you see Ukrainians learning to shoot over objects. Okay. In other words, like there's a fence or something, or a little wall, they shoot over the wall. Never, never, never do that. You're going to die if you do that, because when you pop your head above that wall, they can see you. Okay. And if you can be seen, you can be hit. The proper way to do it is shoot around the base, lay down and shoot around the base of the wall to present a small target so that you're less likely to get hit. This is fundamental gunfighting. Okay, there's two parts to any fight. The first part is you have to live, okay. And the second part is shooting the other guy, okay. But first, you got to stay alive.
Now who's okay? You lost me there for a bit.
Okay.
Who's shooting above or at the base of the wall from distance?
They're teaching the Ukrainian soldiers, the new recruits. They're teaching them to shoot over obstacles instead of around them.
To lay down and shoot over the wall. When you're not going to hit anybody unless they're stupid enough to stick their head up. So what are they really shooting at? Nothing.
So
they're wasting bullets.
The proper thing to do is lay down, crawl to the edge of the wall, and then shoot around the wall at the bottom. Then you make a very small profile, and it's hard to hit.
Oh, at the end of the wall.
If you pop your head up over the wall,
or a crack
over
in the wall,
everybody can see you, and you should
and they're,
never
they're
shoot
teaching
over
these,
something.
These, they're teaching these teenagers and old men to lift their heads up and shoot over the damn walls?
Yes. These are 14-year-old boys. It is a war crime to make 14-year-old boys go into combat.
Well, what do the Zionists care?
And we allow them to do that. We're even paying for them to do
that. We're paying for it.
Yep.
This is astonishing.
It is a war crime.
Absolutely astonishing. So you got a defensive wall or a dirt wall. You dug a trench. You got a dirt wall. So you can't really shoot around that unless you dig a hole through it somewhere, which is a smart thing to do. They want them to lift their heads up, take a look around, sight in a target, and shoot. Right.
Yeah. I saw a training thing where they're teaching them urban combat. They're teaching them to go up to the window and stick the rifle out and shoot at the enemy. That means you're going to die. Okay, the proper way to shoot, if you're going to shoot from inside of a building, you never poke your rifle out the window. You build a little stand in the back, put some sandbags up, put your rifle down, back far away from the window so that if somebody's looking at the window, they won't see you. And then you fire it depends on the situation, but you're going to be 10, 20 feet back, whatever you can. Okay, you want to be as far away from the window as you can because the return fire is going to be at the window. So you need to be back, and you need to have some sandbags or something in front of you, and then shoot at people from that position. Okay, that's the proper thing to do. But the Ukrainian army is teaching them improper ways to do urban combat and stuff. So it's just pathetic. They're slaughtering these people. America is slaughtering these white men in Ukraine. We're slaughtering them because we're paying.
And you get 400,000 as a viable possible number? Wow.
Yeah, that is well established now. I mean, it's not from one source; it's from multiple sources and stuff. I mean, listen, a year ago they said that Ukraine had lost 157,000 troops, and that was like last summer and stuff. So how many are dead now? You know, Ukraine is guards very carefully how many people die, because this is an extermination of Ukrainian people. This is an extermination of the Ukrainian race, and Americans, you're paying for it. Okay, so it's just the way it is. The madness is insane.
How evil does it get? Unreal.
No, it's very evil. So let me touch briefly on China, because they've had some things going on. So on March 7th, Chinese Foreign Minister Qin Gang stated, Washington needs to hit the brakes on agitating China or risk conflict and agitation. Then the same day, Chairman Xi said, Western countries led by the United States have implemented all-around containment, encirclement, and suppression of China, which has brought unprecedented severe challenges to our nation's development. So U.S. rhetoric against China escalates daily, One analyst I know says that U.S. is going to stop talking about Ukraine in the future because they already know they'll lose. They also they always do this. As they shift their attention to a new war, they go silent on the war they are about to abandon. They did it. Listen, they told us, you know, they're telling us how wonderful everything, how wonderful and brave the Ukrainian soldiers are and how skilled they are and all this kind of stuff, how everything's just going wonderful over there, and Ukraine's going to make a big offensive and cut the Russians in half and defeat them and take the Crimea and stuff. This is nonsense. This is delusional. Okay. Why would American press tell us this? Why would the American government tell us this? Well, they told us this in Afghanistan. They told us this in Iraq. They told us this even in Vietnam, even in Korea. They always said, oh, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be soon. We're going to win. But then they drop the subject and they move on. Okay. It's just other people just aren't important enough, okay? And we killed probably over, I think we killed like 5 million Vietnamese people while we were there. Fortunately, they had enough that they could spare that, I guess. But
got it.
It's just how we are. If they don't abandon it, it will lead to the end of NATO and the end of American power in the world. He said to expect the narrative to change. You see, Russia is not an economic threat to the USA, but China is our real economic competitor. So they're a little bit more worried about China than they are Russia. Okay. So then let's stay in that same theater. The North Koreans, on March 7th, North Korea said, and I'm quoting, if a military response such as an interception follows our strategic weapons test, which is conducted without any harm to the safety of neighboring countries or in the high seas and airspace, not under the jurisdiction of the United States, this will undoubtedly be regarded as a clear declaration of war. So today they fired a missile and we didn't shoot it down. They're telling us if they shoot down one of their missiles, okay, their practice missiles, that the war is on at that point. On March 11th, Kim Jong-un said that his troops have been alerted that they may soon be in real combat as the U.S. and South Korea conduct back-to-back military drills in South Korea. Kim said that the military drills make the prospect of nuclear war a realistic one. Okay. So the United States is going around bluffing. Yes, go ahead.
Chances of with Beijing's blessings, of course, North Korea invading South, or at least unleashing their 40,000 artillery tubes on Seoul, and maybe trying to penetrate through the underground tunnels and take Seoul at least.
Well, I think, you see, whenever nuclear weapons are involved, you kind of have to hit an all-or-nothing threshold, okay? It's like, if they know they're going to go to war, the first thing they need to do is nuke us, okay? It's just what they need to do. And they said that that's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. So why invade South Korea when you can vaporize Seoul with a nuke? Why go through the trouble, you know?
I got it.
So, and it's just strategically, it's, you know, nobody wants to lose, you know, and if you don't go into a fight, you know, when you go into a fight, you got to go hard, you got to go fast with massive violence and massive force. That's how you win. That's how you win a fist fight between two people. It's the principles of war apply to everything, every fight.
I used to call that blitzkrieg.
Right. So what you're seeing is, I don't know, the analyst, I kind of had to laugh when he said it, because he kind of said it like, oh, yeah, you're hearing all this about Ukraine, but pretty soon they're going to drop off talking about that, because they're already picking up talking about China. And what's not helping is that Republicans feel very, very, very strongly about, oh, well, we have to have a war with China. You know, it's like, what do we elect these people for? Do we elect them to get us in war? America is a country that would never be attacked. I mean, we have two oceans on the side. We have a weak country to the north, a weak country to the south. We could live in peace, in security, easily, if our government wasn't run by the Zionists. Okay, because the Zionists don't care about your security. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your future. They don't care about your kids' future. They Right. want you dead, period. They want you dead. There's no ands, buts, or ifs. It's just the way that it is, okay?
Right.
And it's the way it's always been. And anything I've ever quoted from the Zionists about their intention to kill Christians and white people, that comes directly from rabbis, accepted rabbis and stuff. This is not just, you know, pulling something out of the air. Let's put it this way. I'm not a rabbi, and I don't know what Jewish theology is. So who do I have to depend on? I have to depend on what the rabbis say. They're the rabbis. They're the teachers of the religion. So I quote them, okay? I mean, I could quote other people talking about the Zionists, but I think it's better to just quote the Zionists themselves. They've laid all the cards on the table. They make it just plain, you know, okay to do.
You got a point, for sure.
So, I don't know. It looks like I see the strategy, and it's pretty clear. You know, they have this little salient. They have this pocket in Bakhmut. If they can just suck Ukrainian soldiers into there and kill them now, I mean, what are they doing? They can't go on the offensive until, either late April or early May. They can't go on the offensive. But their goal, even if they're not on the offensive, their goal is still to destroy the Ukrainian army. And how convenient it is, they have some Zionist shithead telling all the young boys to go out there and get themselves blown away and stuff, okay? So
They use them like toilet tissue. They don't care.
Yes,
they don't
do.
Care.
They
this
don't
is
care
a population reduction of Zionist men. There's no doubt, Ukrainian men by the Zionists, no question,
mm-hmm.
none. It's
yep.
The way he's throwing human lives away. We may end up with 500,000 dead here on the Ukraine side.
Here's the thing: they already have 10 million people left the country. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
So their population is down by a quarter already. All right. And we have to remember that for every soldier that's killed in action, there's probably four that have been wounded in action. And some of those wounded, what's Ukraine going to do in the future with a million crippled people? How is their economy going
to
do?
How are they going to study Iraq and learn?
Yeah, how are they going to live like that and stuff? I mean, what we're doing to them, in order for us to have power and demand obedience, we are letting all those people die. Okay. We're getting them killed. Russia, on the other hand, one of the things they don't want to kill the Ukrainians. They're fellow Slavic people. They don't want to kill them. They would rather them be alive, you know, but they have to do what they have to do. You know, and it's just how it is. So I think they're going to probably go ahead and take Bakhmut. That's another reason why they have this ammunition problem. Okay, it's actually to encourage the Ukrainians to come in. Okay, thinking, oh, they're low on ammo. Let's go. Okay,
A logical tactic.
But how long does it take to get the ammo up there if they need it? Not long. They'll have it up there in a few hours. They could have it up there in less than an hour, you know, on the front lines, because they use helicopters and stuff to transport it. It could be there quickly. So, you just have to listen. When Russia really never counters any of this propaganda about the Ukrainian success, because, see, the Russians know how the Ukrainian army is. They know what their weaknesses are. They know what their problems are. And so if we want to delude ourselves, you know, this will just make it better for them, okay? Because, listen, in any given fight, it is better that you are underestimated than if you're overestimated. So if you're going to estimate the enemy, you kind of want to overestimate them a little bit, okay? And they want you to underestimate them. But you see, the Ukrainians are doing the opposite. They want to be overestimated when they should want to be underestimated, okay? Because, see, underestimation gives you the element of surprise. Because if you're truly strong, the enemy's going to believe you're kind of weak, and then when you run them over, they're going to be routed, right? So I think that's what we're going to see. You see what the whole thing on the Donbass front is? Ukrainians built bunkers and trenches for 8 years. It's a very well dug-in position. It's hard to fight those, okay? But once they get past the Bakhmut-Soledar knot on the front, they can just sweep through. What's to stop them after that?
Nothing.
What's going to stop them?
No.
You know? They go hard and they go heavy. They reach the Dnieper. I mean, it's like this. It's like this. Think of it this way. We said we're going to send all these longer-range weapons, okay? So they have to get to the Dnieper so that they also have to protect the Russian homeland, you know? They can't have bombs coming down on Russian people and stuff. So they're going to make this dash for the Dnieper and see what they can do and stuff. I don't know. I can't tell right now how this is going to end. And I don't even know if it's going to go to nuclear war. If we actually send NATO troops into Ukraine, even, you see, we're going to go in thinking, okay, we're just going to fight a conventional war. Oh, no. It doesn't work that way. Once the first NATO troop kills a Russian, we are at war with Russia. If we go to war with Russia, remember I keep saying the Russians think that we are going to push the button first. And the person who pushes the button first is the person most likely to win the nuclear war. So what is Russia going to do? If they have to go to war with us, I'm thinking, you know, why even declare a war? Just push the button, you know. That will be their declaration of war. And we're gone, okay, as a nation anyway. Lots of people here will survive, but the nation's over at that point. So, and then maybe there could be peace in the world. I don't know. Yeah.
No, not yet. Not unless they succeed in denuding the population to the extent that they want.
Oh, yeah. And us, I mean, I can't believe they almost had a $1 trillion budget for the military, but where's the people for the military? They can't recruit anybody, you know, who wants to go in, you know, especially with Zelensky saying you will send your children to fight for us on the front lines. Oh, yeah, how many people want to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think very many. Not only that, but if you're a straight white male, you would be just idiotic to go into the military because you are not going to be promoted on time. Everybody else is going to get something before you. They will work hard to you know, their goal for every white male soldier is a dishonorable discharge. Because if you have a dishonorable discharge, you cannot buy a gun. And that's their goal. They want to get every white person a dishonorable discharge or a felony charge so that they can disarm us and stuff, okay? So just everything they think to do is evil in every way, okay? You know, just think to yourself, who is in command? Who is the boss? Satan is the boss, okay? So everything they do is satanic. Nothing makes any sense at all because Satan is the inversion of everything, okay, which you can see now. Good has become evil, and evil has become good. We protect evil people, okay, but do not protect good people. I mean, even if we, like in Florida, they want to get rid of a drag queen story hour and stuff. So Biden announces today that he's going to pass a law that protects the rights of trans people. Okay. But you have to realize that protecting the right of trans people means that you're taking away the rights of women and of other people. You would even be taking away my rights. I do not want to go work in an office or a place somewhere where I have some tranny putting on the kink all the time. You know, I don't want to put up with that. I don't want
to
see it.
I understand that. Mitch,
it,
what the hell is wrong with you? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kindness. Gee.
Yeah, I mean, they even come up with a thing, Jeff, saying, well, you know, if you're a good man, you would date a tranny. Well, no, I would not, because a tranny is really a man, and if I have sex with him, I would be a homosexual, okay? And
you
I'm
would.
Not a homosexual. I'm not a homosexual, so I'm not going to date a tranny. A tranny is a man. It's not a woman, you know?
It's all, I mean, look, it's how just, fast this has been done, too. It's been done at the speed of light, almost. It's so fast, they've turned it all upside down. It's all corrupted. It's all twisted. It is depraved. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. I remember, Jeff, I was working in San Bruno, California. That's the San Francisco area, back in 1992. And the city back then, that's when the city started. The city of San Francisco said, we will pay for trans people's operations and stuff.
In 92?
Okay. In 92.
They were working on this back then?
Yeah, they passed a law back then. They allowed, they did pay for trannies operations then. Now they have, all trannies get $1,000 a month subsidy from the city, okay? This pushed, and remember, what does a tranny represent? A tranny represents Baphomet, and Baphomet is Satan, okay?
Got it.
This is one of their gods, the god of the Golden Dawn, you know? So.
Okay. Wow. All right. We'll see you next Monday. Dick Allgaier is going to take a little time and get some rest and relaxation in. So we'll have you back next Monday.
Okay, Monday. So, all right. I got it.
Thank you, Mitch.
Put
thanks.
That on my
Excellent.
Calendar right now. Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. The amazing Mitch Henderson. You did. 3 great hours of radio. These are extraordinary people. All of them have something to say. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow night, Tuesday. See you then.